You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
The proliferation of deepfakes and AI-generated content on social media sites like TikTok and Instagram is playing an ever-increasing role in political campaigns. Recent elections in Australia and the United States, among other countries, have demonstrated the role of deepfakes in representing or misrepresenting political figures, as well as spreading sensationalist mis- and disinformation on key political issues. University of Waikato anthropology lecturer Bronwyn Isaacs published a piece in The Conversation this week calling for new legislation in Aotearoa, while expressing her concern of the role of AI in politics, as echoed by other academics across the globe witnessing the impact of artificially generated content on their own elections. Leading expert in Māori data, tech ethics and data governance, Dr. Karaitiana Tairu, has also raised concern recently with the impact of AI and other emerging technologies on institutional trust and security. I talked to both Bronwyn Isaacs and Dr. Karaitiana Tairu about the role deepfakes and AI might play in New Zealand's upcoming elections. First up is my discussion with Waikato University lecturer Bronwyn Isaacs. In recent elections around the world, AI-generated videos have played an increasingly significant role in defining social media political campaigns, especially on TikTok, which platforms short and sensational video content. What are your main concerns for New Zealand elections when it comes to deepfake political content?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it, because obviously not all use of AI, whether it's on TikTok or other videos, is harmful in the same way, right? I think we see, you know, examples of even political content with AI that can be creative and funny, but not necessarily misleading or misinformation or disrespectful. Right? But certainly, I think if we look forward to the New Zealand election, which is going to happen sometime next year, by that time, you know, AI capabilities in terms of producing content that looks authentic or looks believable, to at least to many people, is going to be much more enhanced than it is now. And there doesn't seem to be very good regulation in regards to the video content being produced for political purposes, really in most parts of the world. You know, it was interesting, I think it was last year, you know, a bunch of the tech companies got together, you know, Google, Meta, Microsoft, you know, they committed to trying to combat political misinformation online. And if you go to Meta's websites, they'll say things like they require their advertisers, when producing content that's political, to have a disclaimer that the content is AI generated. But when you look at what's actually happening in practice, that's definitely not happening, right? So I think like Meta kind of feels like, oh, we can wash our hands, la la la, we asked everyone to declare their AI use. But actually, I mean, as far as I can tell, most political parties and most political actors that are producing content aren't declaring it. And even when they are declaring it, like there was an interesting example that came up from the recent Australian election, where the Liberal Party produced a very silly like AI generated video, and it comes up in their video on the first sort of few seconds of the video. This video is entirely AI generated, but they didn't actually declare that anywhere on the post, either on Instagram or where they also posted it on YouTube. And according to like Google's policies, which, you know, own YouTube, there's supposed to be like an automatic declaration that Google produces, that attaches itself to YouTube videos that use AI political content. And this video was only produced a month ago, so you would think that Google would have caught up by now, but they obviously haven't. So we're in this situation where there isn't a lot of political regulation in terms of laws in most parts of the world. There isn't regulation and good practice occurring by the large tech companies. And so it really then comes down to the people creating that content to be their best ethical selves in producing political content. And in the heat of an election, I don't really like to trust the political parties. I don't know about you, but I don't trust most of the political parties to make the best decisions.
Yeah, I think those examples that you've brought up from the Australian political campaigns are really interesting. They've been creating some quite strange content on TikTok. How do you foresee that the deepfakes like those generated on this brain rot trend will influence the way voters, especially in younger generations, are able to critically engage with elections and political issues?
Well, I think that younger generations are actually better poised than older generations. And when I say younger, I mean like really younger, like I think maybe, you know, age 24 and down, because they, according to, you know, studies that I've read, the younger generations are actually more attuned to figuring out which content is AI, which is not. And, you know, the majority of everybody else has a harder time spotting which content is AI generated. So in some ways, it makes sense that a lot of the content is being produced by the younger generations, and also that they're more critical of it. And also potentially if they're present on platforms like TikTok or other social media platforms, if they're in communities where there are conversations about this, they are able to talk about it to a certain extent and highlight among themselves. So I'm actually more concerned about the older generation. You know, in terms of what they're receiving and their inability to have that tech literacy or have that AI literacy to understand what they're watching. Does that sync with what you've seen, or is there something else in particular you're getting at?
Yeah, no, I think that talking about this tech literacy is quite an important element of this discussion, because as I see, or as I would assume, I'd say younger generations kind of have a better grasp on what is real and what is fake, or maybe take certain things with a grain of salt a bit more on that they see on social media. I'm interested to know, especially in relation to who is kind of educated on, or who kind of has that tech literacy that we're talking about, are there any groups that you would say are going to be disproportionately affected by the proliferation of AI-generated political deepfakes, especially in New Zealand's upcoming election campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously when we think about older Australians, we've seen, sorry, older New Zealanders and Australians, I'm thinking about Australia a lot at the moment. But when we think about the older generations, you can see how they've been very susceptible to scams online, romance scams, financial scams, you know, the Hey Mum classic scam, post office scams, all of these things. I think it's very reasonable to assume, and also based on the current studies that we've seen, that it's going to be the older generations that are more at risk in terms of maybe believing the fake content that's being produced. But to turn the question around another way, if we think about vulnerability, it's not just who's at risk of being taken in and not understanding what they're seeing. It's also at the risk of who is going to be marginalized and disrespected in the creation of this content. Because if we have, for example, synthetic fakes of minority communities from Aotearoa, this can be done in a way that's like incredibly disrespectful to communities in New Zealand that are already experiencing forms of, you know, political marginalization. So, you know, the whole idea that, you know, you would put an image of, say, a Pacific nurse up on an advertising ad, and that image is not even of a real person, but just a synthetic that's created from a bunch of different people. You know, according to the people I've interviewed and talked to, for many people, it feels incredibly disrespectful, because you're not engaging with them as community, engaging with their stories and what they've experienced in Aotearoa. You're just creating a complete fake version of them. So even if they know that it's fake, what matters to them is the fact that they haven't been consulted or representative in a genuine way in that form of representation.
Mis and disinformation have already been aspects of politics that democratic citizens have had to learn to navigate, especially in the age of social media, but even preceding this. In what ways does mis or disinformation have worse consequences when it is generated through deepfakes and AI content?
Okay, so let me make sure I've got that question. You're saying there's been misinformation, disinformation for millennia, right, or just forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the increased risks in terms of misinformation and disinformation today? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like, what makes it worse when it's produced through deepfakes? Or, like, is there an exacerbated effect of it because it is through deepfake or AI content or whatnot?
Sure. I mean, I guess there's multiple ways to look at it, right? On the one hand, you can look at how easy it is to create content that is manipulative to people who don't understand that they're looking at deepfakes. And on the other hand, as I said, you have the increased capacity to disrespect people's cultural content, their personal copyright, and the, you know, the sovereignty that they have over their communities and culture by sort of taking their images, taking their stories, taking their content and just playing with it without actually truly engaging with those communities. So, I mean, obviously there's always been people who have been scammers. There's always been people who have been fakes throughout. You know, there's a very famous like band from the 1980s, which people love to point to, called Milli Vanilli. They were like this German band who like had these very popular songs, and people were outraged when they found out that they were lip syncing the entire time and it wasn't them singing the song. So they had two guys like who were the front, you know, image of the band who would go on stage and sing the songs and be on all the album covers. And then they had other people who were singing the songs behind the scenes. And this is like, you know, an old theme. It's in like classic films, like The Sound of Music and all of those things. So we've had these forms of, you know, when we had AI impersonating Joe Biden in the latest American election. I mean, that was shocking to people, but we've had these forms of technology that misrepresent people and convincingly do so for many, many you know, centuries, if not longer. So it's certainly, yes, something that's been around with us forever and will continue to evolve as technology continues. Yeah, and I think what's really pertinent for this moment and, you know, people of this generation or of this political moment is to think about the particular ethics that are provoked by AI, particularly when there isn't any sort of clear regulation on it, either corporate regulation through the tech companies or regulation, you know, in terms of laws in New Zealand requiring any form of declaration around the use of AI or anything like that. So I think we need to quickly catch up in New Zealand. I think it would be great if the tech companies quickly caught up and actually did what they said they were going to do. But, you know, we can't rely on them. So we also need laws in New Zealand regulating the use of AI, because I don't think we can trust the individual political pundits online or the, you know, political parties to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It works well with my last question, which was kind of observing the effect of deepfake content on recent elections across the globe in places like Australia, the United States and Canada and South Korea, and the response from these governments to this influence on political elections. What would be your specific recommendations to the central government in terms of legislative change or even education on this issue, particularly in the lead up to our own national election next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's imperative for the government to consider regulations requiring political posts on social media or other forms of media, if for that in that case, that use forms of generative AI, to have clear labeling. I mean, we have clear labeling on things like tobacco products or junk food, or like, you know, that, you know, it's there's different laws about how much that labeling occurs. So we need to have a debate about, you know, to what extent that labeling should be there. But that would be the first thing. Absolutely has to be labeling when there's generative AI, particularly when it's, you know, producing forms of deepfakes that could be potentially a bit manipulative. And then beyond that, we need to think about, well, what are the impacts for things like copyright, like taking other people's content and then using that for political gain without fair attribution. Yeah, there's a range of issues that can continue, that we need to continue to work out. But I would say number one is that declaration. And then, as in some countries, there may even be a ban on using or producing generative content in the lead up to an election. So you might put a ban in, you know, a couple of months in advance, and only allow people to, you know, be a bit more playful with the AI after the election's finished.
Next up, I spoke to Māori data and tech expert Dr. Karaitiana Tairu about how we should respond to the emergence of AI in politics in Aotearoa. How have you observed deepfakes and AI-generated content influencing political engagement in New Zealand?
So I guess, I mean, it's on the rise. It's being used more and more, and it requires less and less skills to be able to do it. As you know, I mean, when deepfake technology was first around, it was, you know, relatively complex to do it. But yep, I am seeing political attacks on all the main parties. A lot of misogynist attacks on female politicians. And probably an increase in attacks on Te Pāti Māori with those deep fakes and having different politicians saying different things and doing different things. Yeah, I hope that most people realise that they are deep fakes, that, you know, our politicians wouldn't say and do some of those things that are emerging in deep fakes.
What are your main concerns around the use of deep fakes in political campaigns and produced during election periods on social media, perhaps in particular with regard to how it impacts Māori data and data sovereignty?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I think we've learnt from the elections in America and other countries in the world that this will be an issue. And we do know that minorities will be targeted. So Māori in particular are most likely going to be targeted with misinformation campaigns. It's likely we're going to see an influx of that sort of misinformation about asking Māori not to vote for different groups, and we're going to see a lot of targeting of anti-treaty propaganda. I think it's all going to be quite a serious issue that we need to start addressing now. And I mean, to me, the simple solution would be if we had organisations like NetSafe with the authority to talk to places like Facebook and other social media and just have that stuff removed. But we don't have that. So, the implications could be quite wide and varying. And, for New Zealand and for Māori, I think next year is going to be a wake-up call for us as to what the damage is and how we can prevent it in the future. As I said, next year will be our first time we're going to see the sort of online attacks and these online campaigns.
What are some of the changes you think AI will have for Māori culture and the way, and the way that Māori can meaningfully engage in the political system in Aotearoa?
So I think there's a lot of fear, a lot of misinformation about AI in Māori communities. That's created mistrust. So I think the first thing that we need to do is actually look at AI and say, yes, there are some detriments here, but there's a whole lot of positives. And and we could use AI to up the voter registration of Māori in communities. We could use AI to create informative campaigns based on facts and things that the younger generations would actually want to watch and engage with, and we get key messages out that way. So I think there's positives and negatives for everything with AI, but I think we could definitely use it as a positive for participation in political voting, whether it's local or central voting.
Do you think there's enough education or resources, especially for Māori voters, but probably more widely in New Zealand, for people engaged in New Zealand politics anyway, relating to fake content and mis- or disinformation which can be spread online?
My professional opinion and my personal observations are we don't have enough knowledge. We don't have access to resources to understand the actual real impacts of what's happening out there. There's some horrific, viral stuff goes on the internet, and people don't either understand it or talk about it. So some of the issues we have is trying to prosecute under New Zealand legislation is very difficult. People who see it probably don't want to talk about it. Maybe they've clicked into somewhere they don't want to publicly admit they were at. I think for other people, they think it's just a joke, but definitely a large sector of our population they have no idea of what's really happening online.
You recently spoke on Wātea News about a Russian disinformation network's exploitation of AI chatbots to produce pro-Kremlin propaganda content, especially produced in Te Reo Māori. Can you talk a little bit more about what happened here and maybe any concerns you have about the influence of external factors or external political influences, I suppose, impacting New Zealand's political outcomes?
Yeah, definitely. So in that case, in that instance, it was a Russian media website, and basically their propaganda or their media articles were translated into Te Reo Māori with AI. Language experts who read those articles said it was accurate. As far as they could tell, it was written by a human. So we have to be careful when we're reading sites that are written in Te Reo Māori, making sure that they are New Zealand based. And yeah, I think just I think everybody should just be cautious of what they do read online. Anyone can write anything and put it online. And I think in the past five or so years, we've seen a lot of misinformation about numerous things. There was vaccine information, political figures. I think we just have to be really cautious. I think external influences, I think if we had white supremacy groups with international affiliations, we could, it's possible to that we could start seeing external influences like that. It's also possible if there's a foreign country wants to disrupt the election process. We know that's happened already around the world. So again, I think we need to be prepared for that. But I feel quite confident that we've got people in different security agencies in New Zealand who do do a lot of work behind the scenes to protect New Zealanders from that sort of foreign influence.
Yeah, we've got academics and people all over the world kind of starting to notice how AI and deepfakes can have a negative impact on political outcomes or on election seasons or election campaigns. But you've talked a little bit here about the positive influence as well of AI. What would be your recommendations to the central government in terms of both responding to the threats of AI and harnessing its benefits in New Zealand in the coming years?
Yeah, so for the threats, I think we need to have better legislation that actually makes deepfakes either illegal or regulated, and we need to give authority or more power to the likes of NetSafe New Zealand, the police, and the various other agencies in terms of using it to our benefit. It's to me, we could use it as the same way we use a television advert, but have disclaimers that this is AI generated. But then, just really play on our younger people's their interests and what is their normal day-to-day activities, and use the AI to as a form of advertising and promoting factual information. And I think it's relatively easy to do, and I think there'd be a lot of benefits there, especially for people who don't engage with mainstream media, who probably will just end up, using social media and all the disinformation that's there already. So definitely, I think using AI for advertising in those spaces would be of great benefit.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.